It was a mighty Shabbos. The Baal Shem Tov called for the wagon driver. He says, I'm going on a trip. And a few of the Talmidim were there. And the Baal Shem Tov invited them to come with him. In fact, all three had the name David. Each one had the name David. Of course, there were different Davids. But so happened to be that all three of them were Davids. What difference does it make in the whole Maaseh Veisachnish? But that's what happened. They started going at night, Maitzi Shabbos, down the road. Then the Baal Shem Tov told the wagon driver, you can go to sleep. Let go of the horses. Go to sleep. The horses know where to go. The wagon driver fell asleep, and the horses started to go by themselves. In fact, they went off the road into the forest. And the wagon kept going. And they went way, way in the forest. They traveled the whole Sunday. They traveled the whole Monday. It seems they took their talis and tefillin with them. They must have taken something to eat. They just stopped to daven, maybe for a few minutes here and there. They traveled the whole Tuesday. They traveled the whole Wednesday. They traveled the whole Thursday. And now it's Erev Shabbos. They're in the forest. And a very strange thing, not one time did they see a house or a person. All they saw were trees, birdies, and animals, and rocks, and leaves, and plants, and the sky. They did not see one person and not one place, no buildings, no houses, nothing. Maybe a lake, maybe a river. Where are they going to spend Shabbos? Now it's already Erev Shabbos. And they're in the forest. What are they going to do? Very strange. This whole thing is very strange. The Baal Shem Tov, he did not explain what's going on. Finally, way in the distance, they see a little house. The first house they saw for the whole week. Now, this far in the forest, who knows if there's a Yid in that house or not? I mean, who knows who lives in the middle of the forest like this? They go to the house. Sure enough, there comes out of the house a Yid. They could tell he was a Yid. They could barely tell he was a Yid. Because the way he was dressed was very strange. His clothes were all torn. They asked him if he's a Yid. He said yes. They asked him, could we spend Shabbos here? At first he said no. He doesn't want any guests for Shabbos. Then they begged him. They said, please, we have no place to go. We're in the middle of the forest. And he starts to scream, okay, you can spend Shabbos with me, but remember one thing, whatever I say to do, you do. And you don't ask any questions, and you don't argue. You do things my way. And whatever I say to do, you do exactly. And don't make me any trouble. Is that clear? Well, they had no choice. I never told you this story. They had no choice, so they said, okay. They came into the house. The house was almost falling down. There was no furniture, except for a kind of a table that was like a board on top of a few boxes. There weren't even any chairs. They look around the house. They don't see any food. The table is not set for Shabbos. There's no sign there's going to be Shabbos over here. But this Jew apparently knew that it was going to be Shabbos. All of a sudden, this Yid, he goes out and he goes to the dirt outside of his house and he takes two big handfuls of mud. He comes over to the table and he throws down the two handfuls of mud on the table that makes two piles of mud on the table. And then he goes over somewhere in his house into the broken furniture and he takes out two candles. He sticks the candles into the mud and he lights the candles. These were the Shabbos candles. Well, they didn't see. And he makes a bracha, or what sounded like it might have been a bracha, very fast, mumbling up the words and jumbling up and farmishkababbling up the words so fast. He did it himself. There was no wife over there. They wondered where his wife is, if he has a wife. Maybe he's not married, even though he's pretty old. And so it becomes Shabbos. And now the Talmidim and the Baal Shem Tov, they begin to daven. First they're going to daven Mincha, and they're going to daven Ma'ariv. And the main thing of Shabbos is called Oynig Shabbos, to have a pleasure of Shabbos. By some people, the pleasure of Shabbos is eating and drinking, and that's a mitzvah. To have delicious food on Shabbos, a delicious suda, and delicious fishy and chicken soup, or whatever you have on Shabbos. And that's also a very important part of Shabbos. But the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal Shem Tov realized that this Shabbos, they're not going to have delicious food for Shabbos, but it was okay. Because they, the main Tainug Shabbos, the main pleasure of Shabbos by them, was the Tainug of the Neshama. The Neshama davening and learning Torah and singing Nigunim and feeling close to Hashem and the whole Kedusha of Shabbos. It was okay. At least they have a place to be for Shabbos. They'll daven with Kavana, they'll sing, they'll speak Torah, and the Neshama will have a beautiful Shabbos. Even the body will feel the beauty of the Shabbos. But as they started to daven Kindalach, all of a sudden, the Yid, the Balabas over there, he starts screaming at them, "What are you doing? What are you davening so slow? Stop singing. Daven fast. I want to make Kiddush. I want to eat. I'm hungry. Daven quick. Let's go." They said, "But you know what? We'll make our own Kiddush. You go ahead and make Kiddush and eat, and we'll make Kiddush later." "Oh no, I make Kiddush for everybody, and you don't do what you want, you do what I want. If I make Kiddush, it means you have to make Kiddush. And if I daven fast, it means you have to daven fast. Now let's go." And he starts screaming at them, and he goes to each one, and he yells at them, "Faster, let's go." And what does he do? He's walking back and forth, and he's davening so fast. Walking back and forth with bare feet in his house. He's walking back and forth. He could hardly hear the words that he's saying. Mishka babbling every word. Races through Mincha. Races through Kabbalah Shabbos. He races through Mincha. He races through Kabbalah Shabbos. You could hardly even tell that he said anything. And by the time he's done, they're just barely beginning, and he screams at them, "Don't sing and don't davenize and let's go, I'm hungry." And he makes them daven fast. Okay, now they're ready for the Suda. What's going to be the Suda? He goes into one of the broken pieces of furniture and he takes out these two black balls. What were they? They were some kind of black challahs. Black challahs. Did you ever see a black challah? Some kind of black bread challahs. Like a pumpernickel bread, but this is a challah bread, and it was black. And it wasn't even shaped like a bread. It was like a big black who knows what. And he puts them on the table. No wine. Because you're allowed to make Kiddush on bread if you don't have wine. Looks like he didn't have wine. And very fast he makes Kiddush on the two black challis. And everybody has to listen. They could hardly hear the bracha. Are the brachas on Kiddush? There's two brachas on Kiddush. And now they wash. They sit down to the table. Actually, they don't sit down. There's no seats. They have to stand. There were no seats. Some of the broken boxes they could hardly even sit on. So some of them were standing. Some of them were sitting, leaning a little bit. And the Balabas takes the two black challahs and he tears them up. And he throws the pieces at them. Take this. He throws pieces of challahs at them. Each one gets a piece of the black challah. And they eat it. There's a little bit of salt on the table. And they're waiting. What else is he going to serve? But he doesn't serve anything else. Just some water. There's a bucket of water over there in the corner. He gets the bucket of water. He puts the bucket of water on the table. No glasses, no cups. Just the bucket of water. Drink. They had the black challah, the bucket of water, and now they have to bench. He doesn't even let them bench slowly. Bench fast. I want to go to sleep. But they said, can we speak some words of Torah? Sing a nigun? No. Don't speak Torah. Don't sing a nigun. I don't want to hear no nigun. I don't want to hear no Torah. I want to go to sleep. He didn't let them enjoy the Shabbos meal. They had the bench. Now, he lies down over there. He spreads a shmata on the floor and lies down. And there's only one shmata. They have to just lie on the floor, on the bare floor. They have no shmatas. So they put down, like, you know, a coat on the floor. They lie down. But they wanted to speak some Torah. They wanted to whisper some Torah. How could you go through Shabbos just eating something without Torah? And as they're trying to whisper words of Torah, he keeps screaming, be quiet! You're disturbing me! I'm going to go to sleep! You go to sleep too! Don't even whisper! He screams and he yells and he shouts. Well, they think, look, we'll go to sleep, we'll wake up early in the morning, and we'll learn Torah. We'll learn Chassidus. We'll get ready for davening. And you know what? We'll even daven. There's no minyan over here. We'll daven early so we can daven nicely. For sure, he'll probably sleep late. And by the time he's up, we'll be done davening, and that way we'll have a nice davening, and that way we'll enjoy our Shabbos. Well, when they woke up, he was already up. And he was already davening. And in fact, he woke them up. Get up! Time to daven. I'm starving. I want to eat. Get up! Daven fast! And they have to get up. He doesn't let them again daven slowly like they want to. He doesn't let them sing. He doesn't let them learn any Torah. He just screams. He's hungry. He wants to make Kiddush again. And again, the two black challahs. Again, he tears up the two black challahs. He throws the pieces at them. That's all they have, with a little bit of salt. Okay, they think, look, they have the whole Shabbos day. The whole Shabbos day, they're going to find some time to be able to learn, to say Tehillim, to say things Baal Peh, whatever they could do. But maybe he's going to go to sleep, but then we'll be able to, you know. And the whole day he was running around, he's making noises, screaming, yelling. Every time they tried to say something, he screamed and yelled at them, be quiet, I want to quiet. And he starts making noise. They say, well, you're making noise. Can we learn? No. I like the noise I'm making. I'm going to make noise. You be quiet. You don't make noise. I make noise. You can listen to my noise. He's screaming. He's yelling. And he's shouting. He's to himself, talking to himself. And every time they try to enjoy the Shabbos in any way, he ruins it. chasing them around the whole day. They couldn't stand it. They could hardly wait to leave. The whole Shabbos goes by. Moitzi Shabbos goes by. He made Havdalah, and who knows what it was, some kind of a drink. They didn't even know what it was. They went to sleep, Wednesday Shabbos. They woke up Sunday morning. They could hardly wait to get out of there. What a Shabbos they had. Never such a Shabbos did they ever have. Never such a Shabbos they ever want to have again. They start to go away. They thank him. Sunday morning, they start to thank him to have a nice Shabbos. Thank you very much that we were your guests. They start to leave, and he starts now to beg them. Please stay a little bit. I want to speak to you. I have something to tell you. Please stay. Please don't run away so early in the morning. After all, I'm all alone here, and nobody comes to visit me. And after all, you're my guest. So, I'd like to have people to talk to. And, okay, we'll talk to you. So, we'll leave an hour later. Okay, but remember, I have things to say, and nobody ever visits me, and I'm all alone in the forest. And after all, you're Jews, and it's nice to talk over something, so I'd like to talk to you. Okay, so say, what do you want to say? Well, coming back in the house and sit down, Well, you don't have any furniture. How can we sit down? Well, you lean against the wall, and I'm going to talk to you. The whole day he's drained them a cup. He never really says anything, but he just drained them a cup that he wants to talk to them. The whole day. It comes now Sunday night. They can't leave in the forest at night. They have to stay overnight again. He had a little bit of bread for them, a little bit of water. Okay. Monday morning, they can hardly wait to leave. They start to leave again. They say, thank you very much. We had a nice Shabbos, a nice Sunday. We have to go now. Oh, please, but I didn't tell you what I wanted to say. I mean, after all, I have to tell you something. The whole Monday, he drains them a cup. The whole Tuesday, he drains them a cup. The whole Wednesday, he drains them a cup. He figures out every time a way to stop them. They ended up staying again the whole week by his house. Every time he figured out a way they shouldn't leave. Until finally they could hardly wait to leave. Then we have to get out of here. We can't even speak to him. Finally, one of the days close to Shabbos, if it wasn't Erev Shabbos itself, they know they have to get out of there. They start to run away. This time they ran away as fast as they could. They didn't want to say goodbye. Something is very strange over here. And they're running away from his house. They have to get to another place for Shabbos. All of a sudden they hear the voice calling them of a woman. Not a man's voice, a woman's voice. Where she came from, they're not exactly sure. They see this woman running after them. She looks like a fine Yiddish woman, a fine Jewish woman dressed nicely, beautifully. She looks like a tzaddikus. She looks like a special person, like a queen. What's she doing here? Where did she come from? Who is she? She says, please, come back. Don't run away. I must speak to you. Well, if it was the man running after them, they would have run away anyway, but she ran after them, so who is she? And she says to the Baal Shem Tov, do you recognize me? The Baal Shem Tov says, no. She says, I used to live in your house when I was a little girl. The Baal Shem Tov still did not recognize her. She said, my parents died. I became an orphan. And your wife, the Baal Shem Tov's wife, took her in to live in the house that she should take care, the Baal Shem Tov's wife should take care of her, and she should help in the house. They took the orphan to live in their house, this girl. This girl lived in the Baal Shem Tov's house. She was a part of the family when she was a little girl. And she got a kind of a sickness in her scalp. You know what the scalp is? where your hair is on your head, so the skin that your hair grows out of, the top of your head, that's called your scalp, where the hair grows out of. She got a certain sickness in her scalp, and she had to have a very strong shampoo, the doctor said, in order to take care of the skin, the way it got sick. And every night she had to have strong shampoo and wash the hair in the strong shampoo like a medicine. And it smelled very bad because it was so strong that it was able to heal the scalp, the skin. And the Baal Shem Tov's wife had to give her every night like a bath, but she just took like a big bucket and washed her hair with a strong shampoo. So it wasn't a bath of the whole body, it was washing her head, washing her hair with this medicine. And the girl did not like the shampoo because it was so smelly and so strong, and it hurt her eyes and it bothered her. And she breathed, if you breathe it in, it makes you feel not good. But she had to have it. The doctor said she must have this for her skin, for the scalp. And one night, the Baal Shem Tov was learning in the house. The girl was getting her hair washed in the other room. And the girl was putting up a fuss, and she was screaming and yelling. And the Baal Shem Tov's wife was trying to get her to wash the hair because it was for her own good. But she was putting up a big fight and a big fuss, and she was splashing water and doing all kinds of things. The Baal Shem Tov's wife got very upset for just a minute, and she gave the girl a patch, a slap. Not a big slap, a little slap, but enough of a patch that it was a real patch. And the girl cried. Now remember, this girl was an orphan. The Torah says, of course, you have to be careful with everybody to treat them nicely, but especially an orphan, that their parents died. Or a widow, a woman that her husband died. So if a person does anything to them to make them cry, Hashem listens even closer than if it happens to another person. Because Hashem takes care especially of widows and orphans, kids without parents, women without husbands, because they're more tzubrachen, they're more broken up inside because they're sad about what happened. And the girl started to cry. Now the woman is telling this to the Baal Shem Tov. And the woman said, you, the Baal Shem Tov, you did not say anything. You did not come to say anything to your wife about what she did, that she shouldn't do that to me. And the Baal Shem Tov says, yes, I remember. I was learning, I heard what happened, and I did not stop learning, and I didn't come over, I didn't say anything. You're right. You're right. Well, the woman said, years later, I grew up, and I left your house, and I got married. The man in the house over there, that's my husband. He's a tzaddik nister. He's a hidden tzaddik. He's not really like that. He was only putting up an act. He was only acting. And why was he acting like that? I'll tell you the whole story that happened. Now listen to this. This is a story in a story. The woman is telling this to the Baal Shem Tov. I married my husband. And like I said, my husband is a hidden tzaddik. He's one of the 36 hidden tzaddikim. And one day when he was davening, I saw that after the davening, he was very upset. He was very worried. And I asked him, what's wrong? And he said, his neshama went into the Himmel. During the davening, his neshama went very high up in the Himmel. And he heard in the Beis Din Shalmaila, there was a gzeda against the Baal Shem Tov. There was a decree against the Baal Shem Tov. And the Malachim were saying, that the Baal Shem Tov had lost his Olam Haba. He did something to lose his whole Olam Haba, even though the Baal Shem Tov had so much Torah and mitzvahs that he did, so much Av Yisrael, so many special things. He did something to lose Olam Haba. And I found out, the husband said, because the Baal Shem Tov, he heard an orphan cry in his house, and he did nothing to help the orphan. And because Hashem is very strict with a tzaddik, he judges a tzaddik like a hair, so closely, so carefully. The least little thing that a tzaddik does wrong, Hashem is very strict. So because the Baal Shem Tov heard the girl cry, and he did nothing to comfort her, he did nothing to help her, to speak up for her, because of this, the Baal Shem Tov lost his whole Olam Haba, all of his reward in Olam Haba. And the tzaddik Nister, my husband, he said, and I, the wife, the woman, she was the orphan. In other words, the man found out that because of his own wife, that made the Baal Shem Tov to lose Olam Haba. And of course, he was very upset for the Baal Shem Tov, because he respected and loved the Baal Shem Tov. Everybody did. He was such a great tzaddik. And of course, he felt bad about what happened to his wife, but he felt, not chas v'shalom, that he wants the Baal Shem Tov to be punished for what he did. He wants to help the Baal Shem Tov to get his Olam Haba back. He wants to do something that the Baal Shem Tov should be able to get back his Olam Haba and to fix the situation, to fix what happened. And so the woman said, my husband figured out a plan. He figured out a kapara. A kapara is, like on an Erev Yom Kippur, you take a chicken, and instead of you, Chas V'Shalom, going to be killed for your avedis, the chicken is instead of you. And what happens when you see the chicken? You say that instead of me is the chicken, and you do tshuva, that Chas V'Shalom, nothing should happen to you for your avedis. That's a kapara. A kapara means you do a small thing, and from the small thing, you avoid a bigger thing. Like there's a story that a witch made a curse on Rabbi Akiva. The witch came to Rabbi Akiva and said, you are going to go to the ocean, and you're going to die in the ocean and drown. That's what's going to happen to you. The witch said a curse on Rabbi Akiva. Right away, the students of Rabbi Akiva, they ran to the river. They took buckets of water, and they ran to the Rebbe, and they dumped the buckets of water on the Rebbe. They drenched him with water. And he said to his students, thank you very much. And he was happy about it. Why? Why did they do such a thing? That's the Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Why did they do such a thing? Because instead of Chas V'Shalom, the curse of the witch, having to come true like it really, she wanted it to, this witch, they took water, they dumped it on the Rebbe, which is a little bit like drowning, a little bit like how a Chas V'Shalom person would drown, they get wet, they soaked with water. So they did a little bit of something like drowning, and because they already did that, it got rid of the other gzeira. In other words, they already did it. They already fulfilled the curse. They already did something of the curse. Now, the rest of the curse will be taken off. Do you understand what a kapara is? That's a kapara. Something breaks in your house. Sometimes your mommy says, it's a kapara. Rather than something else should happen, chas v'shalom, somebody should fall and get hurt. The refrigerator broke. The car got a scratch. The toaster broke. So it's better this than something else. Chas v'shalom, something else should happen worse. It's a kapara. If we had a gzeda on us, chas v'shalom, so the gzeda was already now on this thing instead of another thing. Even the churban beis hamikdash can alach. Better that it was the beis hamikdash than the Jewish people. It was, in a way, an act of rachmanis from Hashem that he destroyed the beis hamikdash instead of the Jewish people. There's many, many examples of kapara. The Tzaddik Nister said he's going to make for the Baal Shem Tov a kapara. What did he do? It says in the Sfarim, in the Halakha Sfarim, that Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is a little bit like olam haba. The tainug, the kishmak, the pleasure, the wonderful time of Shabbos is a taste of olam haba. Olam haba is pure pleasure and geshmak and wonderful times that we can't even imagine what it is. What is the closest thing in this world to olam haba? Shabbos. A beautiful, wonderful day, close to Hashem, full of Kedusha. So the Tzaddik said like this, I am going to take the Baal Shem Tov and I'm going to ruin a Shabbos for him. I am going to completely ruin a Shabbos. He should have no tainug on a Shabbos. He should have no pleasure on a Shabbos. So what am I doing? I'm ruining a little bit of Olam Haba for him, right? Since Shabbos is a little bit of Olam Haba, and he's going to wreck up the Baal Shem Tov Shabbos, so it's like taking away what? Olam Haba. So that's going to be the kapara. Instead of Chas v'Shalom, the Baal Shem Tov losing the big Olam Haba, he lost one Shabbos, so he lost a little Olam Haba. So already the Gzeira is fulfilled in a little way.